Welcome to Two Tipsy Plants, the podcast where we talk about plants and drink booze. Did I forget something?
What's your name?
If you still don't know my name, and this is season two, by the way, I think you need to go to season one, episode one. But my name is Sasha.
And my name is Sasha. And yes, welcome. I like how you were sitting there and was like, okay, are we recording Two Tipsy Plants or Two Tipsy? Which podcast are we recording? What should I say? Are we
I'm not even tipsy yet.
Are we doing plants and drinking booze or are we just drinking booze?
No, today we're munching and drinking booze and talking about plants. Multitasking to the best.
Yes, sorry, we will be munching today just because it's actually a weekday. We rarely record during weekdays. But
life is busy.
Life is so busy, and we apologize for a bit of a delay in our recording. So yeah, hence we are recording today on Thursday. Yes, we're gonna drink wine on Thursday. It's been a stressful day at work. My software decided to just shit itself. So
people who know what georeferencing is and how it can fuck up everything in your life would probably know.
There is this meme that I sent to my team today, which is like, yes, Boomer Professor, you were right. Vectorworks, AutoCAD, Revit, and all the CADing programs are going to ruin my life. Yes, today Vectorworks did just that. It ruined my life. Anyway, today we are
drinking,
obviously, but also we will be talking about plants, and we will be, excuse me.
The format today, what she's trying to say, is smash or pass format.
Yes, so we're going to be rating plants. I have mostly outdoor plants, and from what I understand, yours are mostly indoor plants. So both of us are going to smash or pass
whatever each of us mention.
Yes, but also I think we will give some reasons behind it, why smash or why pass.
Well, to be honest, I just looked through my list, and it just looks like a death note. It's just, essentially, it's going to be all the plants that I have killed multiple times, and that's why they are pass.
I feel like on my list, I have a lot of plants that you will just pass just because I know you hate them. But I'm going to try and convince you that they're good. How about that?
Sure.
All right. But obviously, before we start, sorry, I'm eating a bit of cheese. Before we start, Sasha, what's the poison of choice today?
The poison of choice today is Jules Taylor, the wine from Marlborough. It is Sauvignon Blanc and the vintage is 2023. Hmm.
Just a quick reminder as well, we won't be going too much into details about wines just because we now have a separate podcast, which is called Tutu Tipsy, which you can find the link to on our Instagram. Actually, we've done a bit of rebranding as well. Mm-hmm. We are now
The Two Tipsy Sashas,
just because we do two podcasts now, and you never know where this adventure will lead us, so we're just the Two Tipsy Sashas, but the podcast is still obviously the Two Tipsy Plants.
We are one of those people who, when get drunk, go for the adventure.
Yeah, I actually had a reminder on Facebook recently that we've been friends for we've been friends for I think over a decade now. Yeah, you might have to pass it to me because my mic is like
same here.
Come on,
I feel like this is
Accio wine.
I feel like this is a roller coaster and this is like a thing that pushes you down.
Mm. Oh, I love Seth. Oh. That's a very fruity one as well.
And as a... Oh my gosh, sorry.
You're feeling very burpy today.
Don't expose me like that.
It's okay.
What was I saying? For the second podcast, which is going to be about wines, for the second episode, my idea will be probably to talk about Sauvignon Blanc.
Yes.
Since we're drinking Sauvignon Blanc.
Yes.
It just makes a lot of sense just because New Zealand is very overrepresented by Sauvignon Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of topics to cover about it. It's one of the most popular wines to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite versatile.
Yeah, so...
There is a big following.
Yeah, so stay tuned for... Avada Kedavra! Did you see... For those who are not seeing the video, we have breadsticks that I just picked up and I was like talking and waving it.
Okay, McGonagall, settle down.
Did you see the...
I didn't.
Did you see the meme, which was like, what if Harry Potter was not what if, but what does Harry Potter sound in Polish? And it was like, Expecto Patronum, kurwa! It was funny. You can do the same in Russian, I guess. Anyway, sorry, derailing here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. So Sauvignon Blanc for Tutu Tipsy podcast, yeah, which is about wines. So stay tuned. And I... My wand just snapped.
Well, I think because you are Ron Weasley.
Yes, I am Ron Weasley.
You have a broken wand.
I don't have a wand at all, but broken wand is not ideal, Sasha, not ideal.
No.
Anyway.
Anywho.
So yes, let's do some smashing or passing.
Fair.
Rosie agrees. Okay, maybe you start because I can't see. I am actually like almost legally blind. Well, not quite, but I cannot see without my glasses. So I can see that Sasha has a table.
Legally blind, illegally driving.
Yeah, on footpaths. But we will not tell anyone. That didn't happen today, Sasha.
No.
But yeah, I can see that your list is a bit bigger than mine. So maybe you start and then we'll just go one by one. So just a reminder, my list is mostly outdoor plants, garden plants. And Sasha's list is your... house plants, aka example one here, and then a whole wall of there.
Example 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
For those who see. Actually, yeah, just a quick note. I don't know if you guys noticed, but especially those who listen to us on Spotify, you can now see our podcast. There is a little video that pops up on your Spotify. If it doesn't, you just need to update your Spotify, but you can now see us as well. Hi. I try to upload the videos to YouTube as well, but for some reason, my previous upload just decided to... It was like, oh, uploading abandoned, bye. And I'm like, great, thanks. Yeah, but I'll try YouTube as well. But yep, yeah, on Spotify, you can actually see us now. Hi. I don't know about other platforms, sorry, because we use Spotify as our main host and distribute to other platforms. If you can see us on other platforms, great.
Okay. The first plant for today will be a passion fruit.
So, and like an actual passion fruit plant.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is the scientific name for that?
Passiflora. Can't remember the second one, sorry.
Yeah, it also just told me Passiflora.
Passiflora species. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It is from South America.
Mm.
And is it the smash or pass for you?
I think it's a pass. I'll tell you why. Yeah. Well, what about you?
I'll tell you that it's a pass for me as well.
Okay.
I tried to grow it 3 times. Each time, it kind of shrivels and dies. And it's not because I don't water it or overwater it. It just doesn't like me.
Mm. For me, it's a pass because Jane, mm-hmm, our friend from up Auckland, she... Jane and Sergey, they had a passion fruit wine growing, passion fruit wine. Mm. They had a vine
that's
growing.
That's Sauvignon Blanc, by the way.
Yes, I know, it's not. Oh, actually, it does have passion fruit notes in it. Huh? I see what you did there. Anyway, yes, so they had it growing up their fence, and they did like wires so they can espalier the passion fruit on it.
Espalier passion fruit.
Yeah.
But
well,
it's the wine.
Yeah, but I mean trained.
Okay.
Yeah, so like you train it to grow along the fence, but apparently it was just overtaking. Like it just...
Espaliation is a technique when you...
Train your... Yeah, Rosie's having a bit of a...
Tantrum.
Yeah.
Espaliation is a technique when you train your tree most of the time. Like usually it's going to be apple or feijoa. And you train it against the fence to grow in a line.
It doesn't have to be against the fence, but yeah, it's you train it to grow in a line, pretty much. Like
you're
living,
trying, you're
like
trying to grow
fence.
Your tree in a 2D.
Yeah, it, kind of, yeah. It's still applicable to climbers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah. So
I think it shouldn't be applicable for the climbers that are way too quick to grow. Like it probably would work better on a soft island because it would grow slower because of the climate.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think you can still train it. It's just, yeah, in the North Island, obviously it's warmer. Again, we are in New Zealand, just a reminder. So North is our warmest region. North, facing North is the warm.
Yeah.
Warm.
Warmth.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I actually need to open my notes. I forgot that I've got them on my laptop, but I cannot reach my laptop just because of the way I'm sitting currently. Yeah. But, I mean, I love passion fruit, though, the actual fruit.
I know. I don't like the passion fruit. I don't like the syrup. I don't like any flavoring of passion fruit, and I don't like it in any desserts.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh, you're weirdo.
It's the seeds.
I actually like it for that reason, because you can actually... again, I like crunchy stuff.
It also kind of tastes like flour, like potpourri to me.
Like, see, do you like mango?
I do, but that also depends on the variety of mango.
Because I don't like mango, because to me, it actually tastes like soap.
Well, then you're having a wrong mango.
Any mango that I... even like mango-flavored stuff, I don't like it. It's just...
well, mango-flavored stuff is shit. Yeah. I agree.
Mm. All right. My plant is camellia.
There is only one exception that I can accept for camellia, and it's Camellia sinensis, which is, if anybody remembers, is a green tea plant. Well, sorry, tea plant.
Any tea plant, yes.
Any tea plant, because you can actually make something useful with it.
Okay, so it's a pass.
It's a pass. How did you know?
Yeah, I know because you've got, your neighbors have a camellia, and you guys hate it, don't you?
Yeah. Well, it kind of falls all over our backyard and buries our grapevine under it, so... and you literally need to dig out grapevine, and you need to dig out my thyme and rosemary from under it as well. I'm like...
yeah. For me, I don't mind camellias. I do not like Japonica varieties, which are bigger leaved and bigger flowered ones. Oh my god, Rosie is just having...
ones?
Yes, they're all evergreens.
Oh, yeah.
I do like the Sasanqua varieties, which are much smaller leafed and flowers, but my personal favorite is like, it's a hybrid, but it's called Camellia transnocoensis, which has like tiny flowers and tiny leaves, and it looks really nice in the hedge.
Mm.
A few of them, the white flowering ones especially, the Sasanqua varieties, they're very fragrant. We've got it at work. We've got like a whole hedge of them at work. And yeah, some of them. Like Sitsugika, which is a white variety.
Sure.
Yeah. But also with camellias, I personally don't like the double flowered ones. So with camellias, I'll show you the picture, but I'll put it in the video as well.
Mm.
You have like seven different types of flowers. And I personally like the single or... like the tubular,
one,
yeah. I don't really like the anemone or the rose ones because I think those are the ones that actually make the most mess. When the so camellias, they drop a lot of flowers. They flower prolifically, but they also drop those flowers, and that's probably one of the biggest reasons why people don't like them. And the flowers, they brown off and they are a bit slippery, like depending on where they fall. Mm,
especially if it's going to be on your dick, beware.
Don't you drop any flowers on your dick?
Mm-hmm. You're gonna break your neck.
Okay.
My deck is going to be deflowered.
My deck. My neck.
Okay.
My camellias.
Next plant is a dumb cane. Do you remember what is the scientific?
I know what it is. I can't remember.
Diffenbachia.
Yep. Honestly, pass.
I like it. If only I could grow it. I could grow it back in Russia, but I think I had a different variety of Diffenbachia.
Mm.
But when I bought it here in New Zealand, it just kind of got overtaken by spider mites and I just could not recover it.
Do you still have it? No? I think you gave me a seedling of yours.
I did.
Or a cutting. I still have it. It's actually at work on my desk.
Mm-hmm. Is it still that small?
Do you know why it's that small? Because... I either forget to water it. It's on my desk next to my begonia, actually. It's just on my desk behind my monitor. Well, kind of behind, but not really. And sometimes I look at it and it's just like, water! And I'm like, whoops.
Okay, it's time.
But also, I did forget it in the office during the Christmas shutdown period. And yeah, didn't like it. So it is quite tall, but it only has like three or four leaves just because a lot of the leaves just dried out. But yeah, I personally don't like it for the reason that, like, it's kind of, the leaves are pretty, yes, but I don't like how dangerous it actually is to animals. So I wouldn't have it in the house. Not that Balto, my dog, not that he eats plants, but what if he gets bored and decides to chew on the plant? Like,
it's
yeah.
called natural selection, darling.
For okay. anyone watching, I just showed Sasha, not watching, I just showed Sasha middle finger.
Okay. And the plant is originated from Central and South America.
Actually, yeah, with camellias, most of them come from
China
and Japan. Yeah. Camellia japonica.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Green tea.
Well, sinensis means from China, pretty much, yes.
Okay. Your turn, Sasha.
Okay.
I hope you guys can't hear the prayers of Rosie.
Evergreen magnolia. Magnolia grandiflora. Smash yes. or pass?
Smash.
You like it?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I like the flowers. I like that it's evergreen. I like the scent of the flowers.
Okay.
I don't mind it being tall. If I only had a bigger section.
Do you know how big they can grow up to?
25?
Yeah, 37.
37, okay.
If you let them
so
grow.
So close.
Yeah. It is a pass from me. Because I personally think that they are overused. Just because, like, they are everywhere. And they were popular at one point of time and just everybody planted them. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, at work we still plant them. If there is nothing else to plant, magnolia, just because they are quite hardy. Well, they don't really like the wind because they snap in the wind, but, yeah. You
know, at what age do they have that point where they don't snap anymore?
They are like relatively 20? Slow growing. Like, they are not fast growing trees. They are probably medium sort of growth rate. So, not 20. I'd say, like, a good couple of years. It also depends on what grade you plant them in. And also depends if they were grown in windy conditions. Because if they were, their trunk would be a little bit stiffer. Yeah. But also...
That's why there are a lot of videos on Instagram of people just shaking their plant. Who is the bad fiddly thick? Just like, tough love.
Yeah, a bit of TLC. So magnolias are native to southern United States, from Virginia to Florida, and west to east Texas. Did you know that they actually use the timber for, like... Did you just check your sound?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that they use the timber for making, like, furniture and stuff? Magnolia timber. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But yeah.
Are they hardwood?
Don't know.
Rosie, stop it, please. You don't have to be crying.
We've got food in the room, so yeah, and she just doesn't like to be left out. But we also have wires. Like, if you could see behind the little table and where we're sitting, there are wires all over the place. And if Rosie comes in here, the camera will fly, laptops will fly, microphones will fly, everything will fly.
She will fly.
But yeah, the other reason that I don't like magnolias for is... the fact that, yes, it's evergreen, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't shed leaves. What it means that it sheds its leaves 24/7, all seasons round.
But not as much.
Not as much, but... So, with your deciduous trees, they just shed at once, mm-hmm. where magnolias just keep shedding the trees. So you will always have leaf litter under your magnolias.
But guess what? Those leaves are huge, and you can just pick them up with hand.
I still don't like it.
It's yeah. about the convenience and laziness at the same time.
Mm. Yeah, so that's me. It's a nice cheese.
Which one?
Both of them are quite nice, actually.
I can't taste it. COVID.
Nah.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
Next plant will be Peperomia liriana.
Which is?
Radiator peperomia.
Is it the round one?
They're all round.
What peperomia is that?
It's the giveaway is radiator.
Peperomia.
So the leaf looks like radiator.
Radiator plant? Mm-hmm. Is that the one? Oh, okay. It kind of looks like jewel orchid, kind of.
No, that's like very... big stretch, but they originate from South America. And is it a smash or pass for you?
Probably a pass, just because, like, I don't have a love for peperomias at all, but I do like the texture of it. Like, it does look like an interesting plant. Yeah, but yeah. I think it's a pass for me.
String of Turtles is also peperomia, if you didn't know.
It's not a Cerapegia.
No, it's not Cerapegia, it's peperomia.
Yeah.
It's a pass for me as well, because I can grow it. It looks lovely. It gives a good statement. It has a lot of different colors and textures, but once it flowers, fuck my life.
Why?
It smells.
Does it?
It smells so bad.
Really? What does it smell like?
Like garbage.
Really? Okay.
Maybe it was just my peperomia, but hey, let us know if you're not the, I'm not the only one who's facing this bullshit. So yeah, I had to get rid of it. Like, I could not keep on cutting the flowers. It just literally was putting out like 5 more every day, like just like Hydra.
Must be a very distant relative to ginkgos, because they smell like garbage as well. Well, the female ones.
But yeah, that is Peperomia liliana, aka Radiator Peperomia.
It's a pretty one though, yeah, but okay, I didn't know that they stink.
Well, that particular one did, and I didn't give any other Peperomia a chance after that.
I know the answer to my next plant from you.
No!
Cordyline australis? Or any cordylines?
I mean, I don't mind cordylines.
You don't mind cabbage trees?
Bye.
Okay, I guess you were thinking about the indoor cordylines.
I was thinking about the indoor cordylines, which actually look nice.
Yeah.
And they don't grow into the tree.
I'd give it a smash. I don't mind cabbage trees at all.
We had cabbage tree in our backyard. Dun-dun. Throw sticks and stones at me.
Yes, it's a tapu. But, I mean, yeah, it's a nice deck that you build over it, so it had to go.
We tried to keep it untouched, but unfortunately the deck was overlaying it, so it had to go.
But yeah, the reason why, Cordyline australis, they are native to New Zealand, but the reason I would actually give it a smash is because of how magnificent they are in terms of just all the ecological benefits that they have. So cordylines are one of the first regenerative plants to be planted. Like, let's say if you want to regenerate native flora, they do act like shelters for other small plants when you plant them, especially when they're young, when they didn't form the trunks yet.
По-английски первопроходцы.
Nursery plants.
Well, they are nursery plants,
yeah.
Yes.
Yep. So they kind of help other plants to establish. Also, they are populated by a lot of epiphytes. So they act as like a host for a lot of epiphytic plants.
Yeah, you can including, definitely see it in Auckland.
Yeah, including astelias that you found, the widowmaker plants.
The widowmaker.
Yeah. We've discussed it. Was it the plants and their weird names part 2, I think it was. And then Sasha went on a site visit to Auckland and Sasha actually saw them in real life, those astelias.
Thanks God none of them fell in my head. Check out the Instagram and the size of that shit.
Yeah.
So, they actually are quite light when they are dry, but I can imagine after the big rain, there's going to be a ton and a half.
Yeah. So epiphytes, for those who don't know, epiphytes are plants that grow out of soil. They grow somewhere on trees, on the walls sometimes, and they usually collect like leaf litter and water within themselves, like in between the leaves. So that's what feeds them. And they are not parasitic plants usually. But yeah, so cordylines and I mean the cabbage trees, they are hosts for a lot of plants like that. Now, they are also, they feed a lot of birds, including tui, kereru, and bell birds. They absolutely love the berries and the flowers. They are also homes to a lot of native lizards, including the gold-striped gecko, which actually camouflages among the leaves in the tree.
Oh, I'm so sad that I wasn't able to find any lizards during my site visit. The only thing I found was a plague skink.
What about the weta?
Well, I said lizard. Getty is not a lizard.
No, I know, but that Weta picture that you sent, did you find it? Or
I found a trunk full of Weta, which, like, literally, it was a tree overlaying the stream. I was going under it. I'm like, okay, I need to step back because I think I see something. I admire people that actually love insects, but
you're not Weta, one of those people, are you?
I'm not one of those people. Weta is very creepy. It's like an overgrown cricket.
Yeah, so it's just for those people who don't know. Sorry, I found the description on Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. Sasha is correct. It's like a giant flightless cricket. They do look scary. They are massive. How big was the one that you saw? Was it like palm size or half palm size?
So I've seen 12 within one trunk. They literally just ate the holes in the trunk and just buried in there, essentially. Yeah. So, yeah, half a palm size were all of them, probably.
Mm. But they can be as big as your palm size, mm-hmm. depending on the type of weather. They are harmless. They are actually critically endangered in New Zealand, but they are harmless, and apparently they are quite cool to hold, and like to, they're very friendly.
No.
I wouldn't mind holding a weta because it's like it's just a cricket. I would never, like, cockroaches? Blah.
Yeah, I don't mind holding. I don't mind holding. I don't mind holding a stick insect.
Yeah, I actually saw them. I saw another one in the garden recently. Yeah,
I've seen several during the site visit as well. Mm. Like flatworms or slugs, I don't care. That doesn't give me heebie-jeebies, but Wetas is just like a nightmare fuel.
But yeah, back to the cabbage trees. They're also homes to, in South Canterbury, to long-tailed bats.
Mm-hmm.
And also a few other insects and birds and stuff. Well, so yeah, I feel like because it's such a ecologically valuable plant. No, it's not the armpit actually. It's the shoulder. It's just easier to reach it that way. It's ecologically valued plant, and I actually love it for it. Did you also know that there are quite a few cordyline varieties that are native to New Zealand? And the further up you go, the further north you go, the warmer regions, the leaves are shorter and wider. And the further south you go, the leaves are narrower and longer. So that's the way...
And the spacing between them is also kind of like...
I'm not sure about the spacing, but that's how the plant adapted. Adapted to like different conditions and stuff. So I personally really like the wider leafed ones, the way they look, just because they look kind of tropical, but also they come from a more warmer region in New Zealand. So if you plant them here, they could be a bit frost sensitive, especially when they're young. Yeah. So I give it a smash. Sasha gives it a pass.
I will give it a big pass. Thank you very much. Okay. I very much hate having litter in my backyard. So camellias and cordylines / cabbage trees can go.
Just to clarify, I guess, for people who don't know, in New Zealand, we have three different types of rubbish. So we have red, which is just your generic rubbish. We have yellow, well, in Christchurch in particular. But yellow is recycling, so plastics and glass and stuff. And there is a green bin, which is your compostable. So your garden waste and your food waste, food scraps. Cabbage trees.
You would assume that it can go in a green.
Yeah, well, the reason it can't go into the green bin is because it gets tangled in the machinery.
Crusher.
Yeah, so because the leaves are so
thick and
fibrous. Yeah.
They don't decompose easily as well.
Yeah, so hence people put them, you need to put them in the red bin. But that's also the reason why, like, Flexus. Are you going to record again? Okay, technical difficulty. Hold on. Cool. Okay. We are back. the reason why a lot of Maori used to use it for, like, baskets and things like that is because of the fibers and because they don't decompose easily. So they used to make a lot of things out of it.
Decomposed.
Did I say decompose?
Decomposed. You said decomposed.
Oh, decomposed.
kind of mesh up of two words that is supposed to happen.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a cabbage tree. Cabbage.
Cabbage. Babbage. All right. The next tree. The next plant will be Axellus triangularis.
Nah.
That's the best for me as well. It was growing for me nicely for a while, but then it just started to die, and I can't can't revive it. It just looks very me.
It looks like a weed in the garden, just a bigger weed in the garden. So here's I don't like
it. I like it when it's full, but I can't get it full anymore. Oh. I have no idea why. Maybe I need to feed it, but I can't be fucked, so out it goes. And that originates in South America.
I want, well, I guess that particular one, the houseplant one, yeah. But honestly, the houseplant Oxalis looks like the weed Oxalis that you find in your garden.
It is very cute, though. It's purple, it has the shape of the beans butterfly.
Now? I know we talked about beans, but can you not move the beans now? Thank you, neighbor.
He's just demonstrating.
Sorry, it's just the neighbor is dragging his willy bins and I can hear the wheels.
I do like the appearance of Oxalis. It moves with the sun, it has nice colors to it, it has nice shape to it. It's just finicky.
Sasha sees beautiful things
in weeds.
In weeds, yes.
But not in cordyline.
It's not a weed, though.
It's a tree that gives me pain. But the thing that I like about Axalis as well, it has oxalic acid in it, which means it is sour. So you can make teas out of it if you want to, the sour one. You can use all the shamrocks, all the Axalises. If you Google enough and you find which ones are edible, you can make nice lemonade out of it.
Yeah, just make sure you find the ones that are edible, because I think some of them, you probably shouldn't be eating them.
Meh. YOLO. All right. And that's your turn now.
Okay. Hydrangeas. What do you think of hydrangeas?
Evergreens or not evergreens?
Well, most hydrangeas that grow in here are deciduous.
Or climbing hydrangea?
Or climbing. They are deciduous as well, but okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I like the idea of a hydrangea. I like it for dried flowers. They look nice.
Yeah, and they are quite a good space filler, I'd say.
I like it for color. I like that it's very versatile for color. Like, by adjusting the pH in the soil, you can get different colors of the hydrangea.
Not all of them, though.
Not all of them. But I don't like the litter. I don't like that you need to cut it down all the time.
Yeah, I kind of have
It's high maintenance.
Yeah, and I have a love-hate relationship with hydrangeas as well. Just because I love the way they look when they flower. I love the white ones. I don't really like the colored ones just because I was so pissed off. I got a beautiful blue one, and obviously my soul was too acidic, and my hydrangea decided to go pink. And I was like, meh, I don't like that. I like the blue one. But yeah, so apparently... It's a pass from me, actually. Yes, that's what I wanted to say. What about you? Pass or smash?
It's a pass.
Yeah. So they are native to Asia and the Americas. As Sasha mentioned, hydrangea flowers can change the color based on the pH in soil, which is a cool thing that hydrangeas do.
It's a cool feature.
Yes. So soil with pH of 5.5 or lower will produce blue flowers, so alkaline soils. Acidic, but lower than 5.5.
I think it's acidic.
Okay. You know better than I do, so I'm not going to argue there. So she's like, I better check. pH of 5.5 or lower will produce blue flowers, and pH of 6.5 or higher will produce pink flowers.
You made me doubt myself. Lower pH is acidic, higher pH is alkaline.
Okay, I always thought the other way around.
Maybe that's why it's pink now.
Maybe that's why you know that I'm not, like, in science whatsoever. I'm in built environment.
Well, you need to know that for your lemon trees, for your hydrangeas.
I know what to fertilize them with if they're sad. Call it that way. Like, I know what to add to blue hydrangea to make it blue and what to add to pink hydrangea to make it pink.
You can piss on your hydrangea and that will decrease the pH.
Yeah. It will decrease it.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought it would increase it.
Why would it?
I don't know. As I said, I don't understand it. So, in school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, my physics and chemistry mark was the highest. I still have no clue how to do chemistry equations. How did I pass? No clue. I probably just memorized all the equations and then wrote them down and got the highest mark, which was an A plus. And I was like, what the fuck? And my design one was like a B plus, and I was like, what the fuck?
Maybe you should have been a chemist.
I'll be second guessing though every time. I'll be like, yeah, I think that's right, but I don't know, but I think it is. Yeah. But yeah, so pH of 6.5 or higher will produce pink flowers, and the soil between 5.5 and 6.5 will have purple hydrangeas.
That's like an optimum pH, to be honest.
Yeah.
You can the blue hydrangeas, right? 5.5 to 6.
Purple.
And pink for higher.
Yes, 6.5 and higher. I mean, alkaline.
So when is blue?
5.5 and lower.
Okay, so very acidic is blue, and then purple, and then pink. Okay.
Yes. And white hydrangeas cannot manipulate color because they do not produce pigment of the color. So it's the pigment in hydrangeas that are either blue or pink that can change, where obviously white ones don't have the pigment, so they can't do that magic thing.
What I'm thinking about right now that you have brought up the pHs and everything, the optimum pH for uptake of nutrients for each plant is within 5.5 to 6 to 6.2. It's like, I just made it very broad, but as you said...
For majority of plants.
But for hydrangea, you say it should be lower than 5.5 to be blue, which is going to be a deficient plant. So blue, it means it's getting sick.
But you like the
color.
And I guess pink is like, oh, I'm receiving too many nutrients and I'm all blushy and stuff.
No, I don't think that acidic soil equals. So you see the 5.5 to 6.2, I think it is the golden middle, as far as I remember, after the bottle of wine. That's the optimum uptake for nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the nutrients don't compete with each other, and that's when you have a balance within the soil. Once the balance goes of pH goes either way, you start getting limitations from one.
No, like one element. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So pretty flowers, nice space fillers, but yeah, nah, I pass for me.
Fair enough.
Unix. All
right, the next one. The pain of my existence, Tradescantia. Any Tradescantia. Let's count them on all together. Come on, kids. We have Tradescantia Zebrina. We have Jesus in a Cradle.
Wandering Jew.
Wandering Jew. Quicksilver. We have Pink Bubbles.
Is that a Tradescantia?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We have Bridal Veil.
Yeah. Is that a Tradescantia as well?
Yeah.
Damn.
And just green ones as well, and blah, blah, blah. There is a shit ton of them. And all of them are highly invasive. All of them will take over your garden.
Well, don't plant them outside. Yeah, especially
don't plant them
New
outside.
Zealand.
Don't throw them into your green bin as well, please, because that's going to end up in a compost, and that's going to end up growing. So that's what I have seen when I've been to the site visit. In the middle of a fucking lush native forest, there is Tradescantia growing. I'm like, how did you get there?
Yeah.
It's not even anywhere close to the city center.
Not sure. Birds maybe ate it somewhere and then pooped it out, or I don't know.
It doesn't have any nice berries for birds, though.
Yeah, but maybe they snipped it to make a nest or something and then dropped it. Don't know.
Shitty for building, though.
Don't know. I'm just brainstorming at this stage. It's a pass from me, but I do have it growing in my toilet. Just because, again, you don't...
Like, out of
you...
the toilet bowl.
No, above the toilet bowl, actually. Because you just put it in soil, and you can sometimes forget to water it, and it will just be like, oh, shit. It will just be like, give me water, and then you give it water, and it's like, ooh. And then it's like, ooh.
And that's another reason I don't like it. Because
it's a drama queen?
First of all, it's a drama queen, and second of all, it will overgrow quickly. It's one of those vining plants that doesn't support itself, so once it gets too long, it kind of pulls itself out of the soil, and then you have those tips that are still alive, And the base, but the base that is connected to the soil is dead.
Yep.
So yeah, that's another reason not to like it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't really like it either. Maybe do another plant because I don't have a lot on my list.
Hedera helix.
Oh, definitely like a biggest pass ever.
Yes.
Sorry, it took me a minute to realize what it is. It's a English ivy.
English ivy.
So I have seen it. I can't remember the name of the place, but there is like an event space in Christchurch. It's a big sort of like a warehouse place. So big open space with skylights. And they have ivy growing in pots up the wall, up the wires actually, in the warehouse. And for that setting, it looked amazing just because you have this industrial kind of look with ivy growing up the wires.
I mean, it's easy to grow in that setting as well. So it is good for that reason.
Yeah. But
just don't let it out.
Don't let it grow outside, because why it's a biggest smash from me is the fact that, like, obviously it is invasive, but also if you have it anywhere next to a nice wall, painted wall,
especially a fence,
it's gonna ruin hook it. Itself to it, stick itself to it, and then you won't be able to unstick it, unstick the thing from the wall or the
wall of fence. And even if you will unstick it, you will have the scars on that for life.
Yes, and it's also almost close to impossible to kill. You with most weeds,
you can just spray glyphosate.
Just a small weed killer. With ivy, you have to use a woody weed kill, which is like to kill trees, and it's an ivy. So yeah, no, a biggest pass from me.
Somebody told me recently that you can actually make a laundry detergent out of it.
Those DIYers, eh?
Mm-hmm. I'm like, sure, try. Also, it probably will give you a rash.
Yes, actually, because you can be quite allergic to... like, it does cause dermatitis. I'm trying to reach for salami.
trying to reach for sausage.
Not for Sasha's salami, no.
What was that?
I don't know.
Peter... Can you please cue it up like for several times? Like
Peter Griffin?
Yeah.
Alright. Okay, my next plant is lavender.
It's a smash.
I agree, it's a smash. I've planted two lavenders in my garden now. I think they are both
in actual garden or in a pot?
No, in the gravel.
Oh, nice.
Pieces. Yeah, so we've almost finished our landscaping finally, but we used to have this two-tiered stupid lawn where, like, there was lawn and then half the lawn was a step-up lawn because somebody...
It was weird.
Because, well, the owner who used it previously to the person who we bought it from, he used to have a veggie garden there, and then the person who we bought it from, he put lawn over the veggie garden because he didn't grow veggies, especially it was a massive veggie garden if you think about it. So what we've decided is we leveled it all out. We have like a nice meadow style garden at the back, and then a strip of gravel with Teddington chip, which is like a reddish chip, with like a small sitting area, and then I put some plants growing through the chip. So I did like little
hole borrow kind of.
Yeah, I did pretty much. I took plastic pots, cut them in half so they don't have a bottom, so they can still grow through, but then the rocks are around it and on top of it, so there is still soil under the rocks, but it looks like they're growing from the rocks.
Cool.
And I've got like thyme, pratea, and lavender in there.
Which kind of lavender? I hate the one with ears.
Yeah, so
the bunny lavender.
Bunny lavender. So the one with ears is called Lavendulus torches, which is called sometimes a French one, sometimes it's called a Spanish one. Mm. The one that you like and I like because you can add it to teas. And
blue spear.
Blue spear, headcoat. Can't even think of other varieties to be honest, but
something cloud.
Cloud nine. Cloud nine is actually a. The white one. That's actually
I like the white ones and pink ones as well.
That's not an English lavender, cloud nine. That's a Spanish one. It does have small ears. Yeah. So with an English one, which is Lavendula angustifolia. Double check that, but I think it is angustifolia. Lavendula.
But yeah, you...
Yes, and angustifolia, formerly known as Lavendula officinalis, which is English lavender, you can put it in baking, you can make tea with it, and honestly...
And it is so potent.
It is, very potent. You only need like a few little flowers from the floret.
I add like 5 boutons, like small flowers, to my teapot. It gives you enough of the...
Flavor.
Flavor, like back flavor of lavender without overpowering the actual flavor of the tea.
Yeah, but also if you want to sleep well, just add a little bit more. It does calm your nerves really well. But also I remember you were, because you grow some in your garden.
It just overproduces a lot.
And Sasha was putting the flowers in a little jar. And then Jamie, Sasha's partner, and I were sitting there in the living room and both of us were like, Sasha, it's overpowering. Like it smelled... It smells nice, but it was so strong. And Sasha's like,
what are you talking about? I don't smell anything.
Yeah, and both Jamie and I were like, yeah. So yeah, for that reason, smash from me as well. Just because it's pretty. Bees love it. And also you can actually utilize it. I made syrup with lavender, which is yummy for gin. Just add a little bit into the gin. Mwah. Lovely.
What is the name of the plant which is great for rockeries? Blue flowers.
Lithodora.
Lithodora.
I have it as well growing through my rocks, but one little cocker spaniel keeps chewing it. I don't know what's in that plant that he's so attracted to, and I'm like, well, to stop it, because I want it to grow. And yeah, he keeps like chewing it.
I like the idea of Lithodora. It looks, for people who don't know how it looks like... Rosemary with blue flowers.
Yeah.
Like with the bigger blue flowers. Mm. Bigger than the rosemary flowers.
And also probably deeper blue than a deeper sort of green, I'd say, than a rosemary, because rosemary is more like grayish green kind of. Yeah. No, I've got it growing as well, but it's not doing that well because it gets attacked by a little
little spaniel mischief. The only thing I'm not sure about it, like I want to have it on my in my house. Like hint, my glass is empty.
No, I'm just doing it.
It's because it gets woody, and I have no idea how to cut it back so it actually would look nice.
Just every season, and once it's done flowering, just give it a bit of a trim.
But it's a creeping plant.
Yeah.
Okay.
You still need to trim it if you want it to stay not so woody. That works with any plant, to be honest. Same with lavender, especially. If you want it to stay nice and bushy, you need to cut it.
Lavender is a bush. That's why it's fine.
It depends. Like the let's say Spanish varieties can grow into like woody, big bushes. Mm. So you want to keep them tamed.
I want to kind of do the lavender standard. That would look cool.
Yeah, they do exist though. Yeah, but I think you need to graft it to something else.
To rosemary.
Yeah.
The next plant will be Cattleya Sunburst. What is Cattleya?
It's not Kintia. No. What's Cattleya?
It's a orchid variety.
I don't know. I only know Phalaenopsis, because that's
the easy accessible one and least expensive one.
And the easiest to take care of, probably. You just water it from time to time.
Mm. I like Cattleyas. They look awesome. They have humongous flower that looks like Spanish, like, you know, those flamenco skirts, like that, but bright yellow.
Oh, okay. Ooh, that's nice. I like yellow flowers.
And smells amazingly.
Ooh.
But I can't grow it for shit.
Have you tried?
Yeah.
Didn't survive?
It was $70 gone to the wind.
Is it the one that you bought in the botanical gardens where the cafe is?
No, this one I bought from the one of the good places to go to for people from Christchurch. It's going to be Portstone Garden Center. They have a lot of orchids.
Okay. Good to know.
In a season, when the season is there.
Yeah. I guess it's pass for me, because I don't really know it. I like orchids, though. I do like them. But I only have, as I said, 2 Phalaenopsis.
Mm.
Just because they're easy to grow.
I mean, I can give you the lady's sleeper.
Yeah, maybe. I wouldn't mind. I like orchids.
I have, like, 3 of them.
Nice.
All right.
Another one, because I only have one left.
Cattleyas are from South America, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't noticed, a lot of plants that are ending up being houseplants are from South America or Asia.
Because those are the warmest regions, I guess. Mm. Yeah.
Hamedora elegans.
What is that?
Parlapalm. So it's the houseplant palm that everybody would have. It's just like I give it to Anaphibus if you remember.
No.
No.
My memory is shit.
I'll show it to you.
I've just realized you've got a lot of ferns here.
Because that's the only place they survive.
Is it hen and chicken? Yeah.
They actually, surprisingly enough, the chicken fern grows nicely outdoors.
Yeah, it is a outdoor plant. It kind of looks like India plant palm to me. Hold
But yeah, it's just normal palm.
on, is that India palm?
Says Parlapalm. But the thing is that it's just so dense. The foliage is so dense and it has so many crevices. I think you know where I'm going with. I
Bugs.
got spider mites and mealybugs on this one, and Jesus took it away.
Yeah, well, with your plants, especially the ones that have dense foliage, you do need to make sure
Drown them
that.
essentially.
Oh, you're talking about the mites. Yeah.
Yeah. I think
Yes,
Julie's
Rosie.
far.
Rosie's knocking on the door. Yeah. Yeah, but also with like plants that have a lot of dense foliage, you need to make sure that like the enough wind and enough breeze goes through them, because otherwise, yeah, it's quite a breeding ground for
Anything.
insects, unfortunately. Yeah, I'll give you one that's not on my list. Calatheus.
It is on my list, though.
You have one. I can see one right here. Actually, two. Wow, Sasha has two because he complained that he can't grow them for shit. I guess they love it in this room.
No, they actually, these ones live in the bathroom. So there is no light there, and it's always slightly cold and it's moist, so they love it there.
So, smash or pass?
While they're alive, it's a smash.
Okay. Smash from me as well, just because we've mentioned before, but I have like a long planter with five different Calatheas in them, and all of them are doing really well. It's actually time to like replant them and separate them, but I don't want it.
Well, you have to, otherwise they're gonna die.
Nah, I think they still have a few.
Well, there is one of them that you have in there, which is Orbifolia, and that's going to overshadow all of them.
Yeah, but I keep taking leaves off. It usually has just one leaf. Orbifolia is like the
That's
big leafed
rude,
one.
like this one,
Sasha has it
if you
just
can see
there.
it.
Yeah.
Like, on the contrary to Calatheus, I think I would more prefer Xenanthes and Strelitzia. Strelitzia? No.
Xenanthes, I feel like what they do is when they need water, they just curl their leaves, so it's a bit easier to catch when they need water, where Calatheus just straight up die if they need water.
With Xenanthes, they're also a bit more bulletproof, I would say.
Well, hence I'm saying, like, yeah, they actually show signs that, okay, I need water, water me, where Calathea just goes, ah, and then faints.
I even prefer Marentas more than Calatheus.
I had Marentas before, and one of them just died, just rotted out. And then I
Just.
think before the roots rotted, I managed to snip it and root it again. And now it's growing on that little shelf above
Yeah,
the
but it's big.
TV, and it's doing really well there. And I don't water it that often. It's actually growing in the same pot with Hoyas. There are two Hoyas growing through it.
I'm surprised that your hoi is even surviving up there.
It's
There.
Fishtails and Bella, and they
And
love it there.
also Australis.
Oh yes, well, it's in a separate pot. But again, it's growing sort of up the rafter into the sunnier side anyway.
But there is not much sun there.
I guess it loves it there. It's slow. It's very slow
It's
growing, and
very
it hasn't
slow.
flowered for me yet, but it looks nice.
Well, I guess if you want your hoyas to. If you want to keep your hoyas in one shape, you want to put them in a shady spot so that they will not grow.
Well, not 100% shady though, but like
Yeah.
shadier spot. Yes. Yeah. Okay, I've got one last plant, so maybe give. We are almost at an hour, so maybe a couple more plants from you, and I'll give my last plant, and yeah.
I'm almost out of it though.
Yeah.
Hibiscus rosa sinensis.
I love hibiscus. I never grew it myself. I love hibiscus tea. I like the way the flower looks. If I had a chance to grow it in my garden, I would. But also, do you know what? Maybe I will grow it on a pot, in a pot.
I used to grow it in a pot.
Yeah, because you can grow it in a pot. And because Rosa sinensis is a bit frost sensitive, so you'll probably need to put it somewhere under the cove. And
You can grow it as a houseplant.
Oh, yes, you had the yellow one, didn't you?
Red.
Was it red? I thought yours was yellow. I'll probably grow it outside. I think outside would be nicer. But yeah, it's definitely... Hibiscus is definitely a pretty flower. I can't remember which hibiscus it is that you make tea out of. It's like a specific red hibiscus.
Not this one.
No, not sinensis. No, it's some other one. Yeah.
And you can't make syrups out of it as well.
Yeah, it's a specific ones that you can make syrups and teas out of. Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely a smash for me.
So yeah, because the sinensis, as we have said before, it is from Asia or Pacific Islands as well.
Yeah. Well, not Rosa sinensis, other hibiscuses are. And Rosa obviously is rose-like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it, but it will be a pass because I can't grow it again.
No, I'll have a smash. Like I would grow it outside.
I'll have a smash.
Yeah. Okay, last one from me. Hostas.
I haven't grown them yet.
Yeah, I haven't grown them in my garden yet. Simply because I don't have enough room to grow something that is...
Deciduous.
Deciduous is one thing, because like I have a lot of perennials that are winter dormant, but hostas are such... They fill so much space.
They're not dwarf hostas.
Yeah, but still, they fill quite a bit of space. And when they are dormant, it's quite a big chunk of land that is empty. You know what I mean? Just because the size of the leaves, like your perennials usually grow taller and over your, let's say, evergreen grasses, like carexes and stuff.
Hostas grow over the winter time, right?
No.
No.
Summer. Spring, summer.
But shadier spot.
Yes. They love shade. Yep. So if I had a garden to grow them, a shady, nice shady garden, I would.
You have the spot in there where the old canal was.
Where the what?
Old dog kennel.
It's gravel there.
Mm.
Nah. I actually put a wisteria there. So I put a wisteria to grow up. No, I got the black dragon, which is like a dark purple one. A double flowered dark purple one. Really pretty. I wanted a white one, but then honestly, I don't know. I just like the double flowered one. And I think it's the only double flowered wisteria as well.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah. Wisteria, smash or pass?
It's a smash for me.
It's a funny one, because wisteria is...
Because you planted it, and now you're going to say pass.
No, I mean, smash, obviously, because I planted it, but it's a funny one, because they are notorious in terms of, like, they will just overtake your garden if you give them a chance to.
They will also overtake your trellises and your railings and everything, because they kind of grow into being very thick.
Yeah, they do grow woody. Everything. Yeah, so you need to control it really hard. But with my, because it's not, it's going to be on the balcony, right? So I can actually stand on the balcony and trim it. So it's going to be easier for maintenance.
Yeah, it's not like a pergola kind of situation.
Yeah. So I don't need like, you know, leather, and I won't be that lazy to cut it because it's easy to cut it. So hence I thought I'll grow it. But I just planted it.
Hostas?
Wait, just because we are talking about wisterias, do you know, I think you do know, that Japanese wisteria and Chinese wisteria twine different ways?
Yeah. But hostas, they're edible.
Yes, they are edible, fully edible, from bulb to leaves and stuff. Also,
That's why I'm kind of tempted to grow them.
Yeah, I'd love to grow them if I had space. But also, one fun fact that I found today, actually, about hosta. Where the frick is my app? There we go. Some of them, like I was reading where they're from, right? A, there is a synonym name for it, which is Funkia.
Funkia.
Yep. Or Funkia. Funkia.
F-U-N-K-I-A.
They're also known as plantain lilies. And so I started reading about it, and apparently they are native to China, Japan, Korea, and Russian Far East. This is where I'm from. I'm from the Far East region of Russia. And apparently I found two varieties that are native to... One of them is native to Japan and Sakhalin. And the other one is actually native to Korea, Manchuria, which is like a Far East Russia and China region. And Primorye, exactly where I'm from. Which is awesome, I think. And then I saw a picture of it.
How
and
does
I was
it look like...
Nothing special in terms of like the leaf.
Oh, I've seen them here.
Yeah. That's a hosta closa.
Small leafed hosta with a nice ish flower that looks like syringia.
Yeah. And yeah, and like I saw the picture and I'm like, oh yeah, like I recognize them. And I didn't even think that they are actually native to the region where I'm
or
from.
Or edible.
Or edible, yeah. I would be interesting to try them though, yeah.
I have no idea what kind of flavor that they have.
I feel like it will be like lettuce kind of.
I would expect something like not that nice because otherwise people would be eating it by now.
I think, people do eat it in some regions.
Well, it's like bok choy or like not everybody is a fan of bok choy.
Yeah, because it's just green, I guess. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Have you got a last plant?
I mean, I can do the... Which one? Let's do the Midnela Magnifica. It's a Philippine orchid.
Oh, yeah. I like the way it looks. If I had room in my house, I probably would grow it.
If I had room, I would grow it.
If I had room. Yeah.
I did have room, and I did grow it.
What happened to it? Did you sell it?
Yeah, I sold it because it just... Like, I had it for 2 years, and it literally did not put out any new leaves. It didn't drop any leaves as well, which is crazy. But it just didn't do anything at all.
Okay.
It just stayed there. I gave it a lot of sun, I gave it a lot of water. I've put it in the shade, and I gave it less water. I gave it food. Like, I've tried everything I could. It just didn't like me at all. So I felt offended, and I sold it.
Okay. Oh, there we go. Sorry. Yeah. I think if I had room, I would grow it. It looks nice. It looks really nice in the conservatory, in the box store. Yeah. But, yeah. I don't know. If I had a conservatory, I would grow all of them.
One day.
Maybe. I don't know. It's not on my checklist for the house.
Not for this house.
Not for any house. Like, if it is there, nice to have. But I don't really want to have it because, again, it's another... I have way too many hobbies.
Way too many projects.
Yes.
First world problems.
Yes. All right.
That will be it.
Yeah. How do you feel? Do you feel like you've discovered more about plants that you would pass? Or you would still pass them even if you...
I think I've passed everything so far besides a couple of on your list. And all of mine was passed as well. So I'm like...
Yeah.
I just was very pessimistic today.
Yeah. Right.
Sorry.
No, it's okay, because you've actually poured some for me before. Well, that's a wrap from Two Tipsy Plants today. Thank you for getting tipsy with us and joining in on our plant-loving shenanigans. We hope we inspired you to grab a glass of wine, or two, or three.
Or a bottle.
and give your leafy friends some extra love. If you would like to help our podcast, feel free to follow us on Instagram, on Spotify, on any other podcasting platform that you're listening to us on, and spread the word, because it does help.
And also, come on guys, we're not asking for money, we're asking for clicks.
Yeah, we still do it for free, and we still do it because we enjoy it. And also, we do have a second podcast where we talk just exclusively about wines, and the next episode will be about Sauvignon Blancs.
And the differences in flavor for Sauvignon Blanc.
And depending on the region. Soils.
Depending on the region.
Nice. Yes. So, yes, that podcast is called Too Tipsy, as in
too tipsy.
Too much, too tipsy. And you can find the link on our Instagram as well. But yes, whoa.
I think Max is home.
Yeah, maybe. So, yeah, keep it green.
And keep it tipsy.
Thank you, guys. See you later. Bye-bye.